Story is told of a scene in New York Times Square during rush hour. Thousands and thousands of people were thronging and pushing at the corner, ready to cross the intersection. How many of you have been to New York City? Raise your hand. You know what I'm talking about. The first time I took a group of teenagers there, I counted like 13 yellow taxis in a row at a stoplight. And we got off the bus and just hordes of people. And I know I like the country too. It is certainly a change when you go to New York City because there are people everywhere. 10 lanes of cars were backed up for blocks, screeching their tires and racing their motors, waiting for the light to change. Suddenly, a mother cat came out of an alley, followed by her four little kittens. She started across that busy intersection. The policeman on duty dashed out in the middle of traffic at the expense of his own life and stopped the 10 lanes of cars and the people and allowed that mother cat and her four kittens to cross in the rush and excitement of life. Everyone stopped and watched this brave act exhibited by the policeman, and the calm manner in which that cat and her kittens crossed the busy intersection because of the sacrificial caring of that policeman. The policeman had compassion for the mother cat and her kittens. Could you imagine the scene without him stepping out in the middle of the traffic, watching people maybe trying to swerve, maybe hitting one of the little kittens? But he helped guide them across the street. Tonight I want to preach on compassion in action. Compassion in action. And with it being the Lord's Supper night, I thought that it would be good to focus in on Christ's compassion. I want to give you four brief points because we want to get into the Lord's Supper tonight. Number one, Christ's compassion begins with an eye for others. With an eye for others. In Matthew 14, in verse number 14, your text, where you're at in your Bibles there. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude. And the next phrase says, and was moved with compassion toward them. How could the most forceful and demanding teacher who ever lived, the one that held the highest standards for people to live up to, the one that would pronounce judgment upon sin and pronounce words of rebuke upon Pharisees in the Scripture, yet at the same time have amazing popularity when he lived here on this earth? It's because he had compassion. Compassionate people are popular people. Compassionate people are people you want to be around. Compassionate people are people that are constantly looking at the needs or for the needs of others. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 15, the Bible says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities." It means to feel sympathy with. That's what compassion means. It means to feel sympathy with an individual, to see them and their need, to feel their need in your life. Jesus, the Bible says about Jesus, we have a high priest that does that with us, that is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. That means he feels what we feel in our time of need. That's amazing to me. In Mark chapter 6 and verse number 34, Jesus, when he came out and saw much people, here's the connection again, and was moved with compassion before them because they were a sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. There's a story told about a bitter cold evening in northern Virginia. Many years ago, an old man sat by a river waiting for a ride to cross the river. His beard was glazed by winter frost and the wait seemed endless. His body became numb and stiff from the frigid north wind in the winter. He heard the faint, steady rhythm in the distance of approaching hooves galloping along the frozen path. Anxiously, he watched as several horsemen rounded the bend. He let the first one pass by without an effort to get his attention. Then another passed by and another. Finally, the last rider neared the spot where the old man sat like a snow statue. As this one drew near, the old man caught the rider's eye and said, "Sir, would you mind giving an old man a ride to the other side? There doesn't appear to be any passageway by foot." Reining his horse, the rider replied, "Sure thing, hop aboard." Seeing the old man was unable to lift his half-frozen body from the ground, the horseman dismounted and helped the old man onto the horse. The horseman took the old man not just across the river, but to his destination, which was a few miles away. As they neared the tiny but cozy cottage, the horseman's curiosity caused him to inquire the old man, "Sir, I notice that you let several other riders pass without making an effort to secure a ride. Then I came up and you immediately asked me for a ride. I'm curious why, on such a bitter, wintry night, you would wait and ask the last rider. What if I had refused and left you there?" The old man lowered himself slowly down from the horse, looked at the rider straight in the eyes, and replied by saying this, "I've been around these here parts for some time. I reckon I know people pretty good." The old-timer continued, "I looked into the eyes of the other riders and immediately saw no concern for my situation. It would have been useless even to ask them for a ride. But when I looked into your eyes, kindness and compassion were evident. I knew then and there that your gentle spirit would welcome the opportunity to give me assistance in my time of need." Those heartwarming comments touched the horseman deeply. "I'm most grateful for what you said," he told the old man. "May I never get too busy in my own affairs that I fail to respond to the needs of others with kindness and compassion." And with that, Thomas Jefferson turned his horse around and made his way back to the White House. Compassion. The old man looked into his eyes and saw compassion, and said, "I'll stop that horse rider. I'll ask that horse rider. I'll expose my need to that horseman." The word compassion is derived from Latin words meaning to suffer together. Number one, I want you to see in his sight, he saw their condition. Jesus saw their condition. Can I ask you, Christian, what do you see every day? I mean, what do you see? Do you see just Amazon and the things to get? Do you see just your daily job and getting through the day? Or do you see people and the needs of people? People are needy everywhere. I was sharing yesterday with the Operation Saturation Group. I was meeting with an evangelist for lunch this week. Left that meeting. Table in front of me. Man troubled. Really troubled. Was quite rude, actually, when I offered a track. God turned that thing around, and he apologized for that and began to pour out his soul about a need. I'm just talking about a couple sitting in a restaurant right there that troubled in their hearts, tears, shedding tears right in the restaurant. My friend, there are people everywhere that are needy. What are you seeing? What are you seeing every day? Jesus, Christ's compassion, began with an eye for others. He saw them as sheep not having a shepherd. In Luke chapter 7, he saw the lady in Nain that had lost her son. He saw the prodigal coming home empty with nothing, and the picture of the prodigal and the picture of God in Luke chapter number 15. He saw the torture and the man with the unclean spirit, and he saw him destroying myself. Listen, everywhere that we follow Christ in the Scriptures, what is he seeing? He's seeing people. He's seeing needs. He's seeing hurting. He's seeing help. They need help. They need someone in their lives. He sees their needs. Dear VBS worker, do you see the child with no father? Can you see that child this week? You see the child this week without love, without training. Do you see the child this week that's been diagnosed with something that a psychiatrist seems and deems as unfixable? They're stuck with this condition. They're a victim the rest of their lives. I'm asking, can you see? Can you see beyond yourself? Can you see beyond your daily routine? Can you see beyond your problems? Can you see someone in need? Dear teenager, at your workplace, can you see a need? Can you see a lost person? Do you have time to stop for 5 minutes and listen to someone over lunch? Do you see? Do you have compassion? Can you feel? He saw their condition. Number two, he saw his calling. He moved towards them in one passage of Scripture. In Mark 1:41, he touched him. In Mark 1:41, he put forth his hand. He said unto them, he healed them, he taught them. What is the balance here, preacher? Is it just to be compassionate? I'd have you look at a verse with me in Mark chapter 6, verse 34. Jesus showed compassion with the end goal of helping people spiritually. I want you to see this. In Mark chapter 6, verse number 34, you've heard this phrase, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Right? I think we'd find that lined out in the life of Christ here. Mark chapter 6, verse number 34, the Bible says, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And then what? He began to teach them many things. I believe that those people could sense his care, his compassion, his kindness, his concern about them. But it wasn't just meeting that emotional need or that need for them to share their heart. It was the fact that he was being compassionate and then following that with teaching. Teachers this week, helpers this week at BBS. What a great picture of our end goal this week. Show compassion on one end. My word, take that little child, walk with that little child, help that little child this week. And on the other hand, teach them many good things. That's what we find in the life of Christ. He wasn't a dry teacher. He wasn't a disconnected teacher. He was a connected teacher. Hear me, everybody that's serving in ministries at Mount Zion, we must be connected to people. We must be connected to the people in our ministries. Brethren, it's not all about preaching. It's not all about teaching. It is about caring. It is about compassion. It is about meeting that individual need in somebody else's life. And we look at the life of Jesus, and when you bring compassion and you bring truth together, Jesus impacted the multitudes. Do we ever need that in our ministry, in our church? We need the compassion to come alongside of the teaching and the preaching. Christ's compassion began with right eyesight, but his compassion moved him to action. Turn to Mark 1:41. Mark 1:41. Perhaps the most dramatic biblical term regarding compassion is pointed out and used as it speaks of Judas in the Scriptures. In Acts 1, verse number 18, it speaks of Judas. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. The meaning there, his inward intestines. By the way, it's the word for compassion. In Mark chapter 1, verse number 41, the Bible says, and Jesus moved with compassion, the inner part of our Lord Jesus Christ was so troubled in this situation with this man with an unclean spirit that he was moved in his soul. There was nothing that he could do but act in the situation and run to the need and meet the need because there was a moving deep down in his soul for that need. On the level of what happened to Judas in Acts chapter 1. There are several instances where this word is employed to describe Christ's feelings for the unfortunate in his day. In Mark chapter 6, verse 34, same word is used. Someone has aptly commented that it was only on account of the Lord's compassion that he had a hand with which to touch the individual in Mark chapter 1. Brethren, it is only by compassion that we use the resources that God has given to us on behalf of others. If Christ has no compassion, He doesn't move. Does He have the power to help? Does He have the resources to help? Absolutely. But without compassion, without being moved by that inward sympathy, that inward burden, that bearing of another person's burden, He would not move to meet that need. It was compassion that moved Him. May compassion move us. When the Savior heard the news of the murder of His friend John the Baptist, He took His disciples apart into a remote area near Bethesda. And when He took His disciples there, the multitudes followed Him. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 9, if you will. Luke chapter 9, verses 9 through 11. A powerful principle here about compassion. John the Baptist was beheaded. I believe that Jesus Christ loved John the Baptist. In fact, the Bible says of John the Baptist that he was the forerunner of Christ. John said of himself, "He must increase and I must decrease." John the Baptist said of himself, "Whose shoes or sandals I'm unworthy to unlatch." John the Baptist exalted our Lord Jesus. I want you to put yourself in the position of Christ. He has just heard that John the Baptist is beheaded. Now, my friend, that's a loss. Jesus Himself is experiencing a loss in this passage. But I want you to read in verse number 10. The Bible says, "And the apostles, when they were returned, told Him all that they had done, and He took them and went privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew it, followed Him, and He received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing." I want you to get something here. Compassion sometimes means laying aside our own griefs to minister to others who need help and direction in their lives. And Jesus, who was grieving over the loss of John the Baptist and had moved with the disciples into a private place to kind of get away from everything and to pray together, and the multitudes follow Him, and He looks on them and says, "There's sheep without a shepherd. Oh, there's a need here. Oh, forget plan A. Let me get to plan B, which is the multitudes right now." This week, there are people that are bearing burdens right here that are going into VBS. Can I say, ask God to give you a dose of compassion and put your burden on the back burner and bring the needs of the people that you're going to minister right to the front burner. That's exactly what Christ did here. Oftentimes, God places people in our lives when we are already burdened, but yet He places people without a friend, without Christ. And notice what the Bible says in verse number 11. He received them. He didn't push them away. He didn't hurry through them. He received them. My, we live in a hurried society. A hurried society that really has no time for people. The hustle and bustle of life. Got to get to this appointment and the next thing in my schedule. Got to get all the work done that I think I need to get done today. And I'm sorry, hear me tonight, and I'm preaching to myself as well as I'm preaching to anybody else. God places interruptions. And we better take heed to the interruptions. Those are the people that God brings by our lives. Some need to increase in their love for people. Well, I just don't like people. Learn to like people. Jesus liked people. Be like Jesus. Learn to like people and learn to love people. And learn to give yourself to people. And learn to listen and have an understanding heart. And learn to meet a need in somebody's life. Because that's Jesus. That's what we learn in the life of Jesus. He's full of compassion. Luke chapter 7, verse number 13. That lady, that mother in the city of Nain. Bible says, "And when the Lord saw her, He had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And He came..." Here's compassion in action. He's moving now. "And touched the bier, and they that bare Him stood still." The processional's taking place with the dead son at this point. "And they bare him stood still, and he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. Never had the mother been given a more delightful gift than she was given that day, because Jesus stopped life and saw a woman, and saw a woman in sorrow, and saw a woman in need, and said, oh, I need to stop. Whatever else is planned for this day goes on the back burner. Right here's a need. Christians, I'm telling you, I believe God would fill every one of our lives meeting needs. I believe there's people for young people here that God would have you run into, maybe at a workplace, that they have a need. I believe there's older people. You may be retired, you may be in the back end of your life, but I would believe that God would have and drop people in your path with a need. I believe that he'd drop them in our path if he knew that we would have compassion. Compassion. God's compassion reflected his mercy. God is full of compassion in Psalm 86 and verse number 15, and he's plenteous in mercy. Who is it that you need to demonstrate compassion to through mercy? Who is it that you have a short fuse with? Who is it that in your mind that person deserves distance, but in God's economy of things, that person deserves mercy? Compassion is connected with mercy in the Scriptures. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee? Basically boils it down to three things. Do justly, love, mercy, mercy. God's compassion is a revelation of his mercy. Fourthly, Christ taught compassion. John chapter 4, you know the setting well. Jews just didn't pass through Samaria. Samaria and Jewish people, or Samaritans and Jews, were not people that were real friendly towards each other. But in John chapter 9 and verse number 4, the Bible states about Christ, he must needs go through Samaria. Why did he go through Samaria? Because somebody needed mercy. Well, what would everybody else think? Jesus didn't care what everybody else thought. Jesus knew a woman would be there at the well. A woman that had a boatload of sin. A woman that most would cast away. A woman that in most of our churches, if she walked in the building and we knew about her, we'd probably say, well, far chance that she's ever going to be anything for God. But Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. And in verses 9 through 15, you can read the story. What was it, preacher? It was compassion. If you're taking notes tonight, write this statement down. A heart immersed in compassion will overcome superficial barriers. Let me say it again. A heart immersed in compassion will overcome superficial barriers. Jesus overcame superficial barriers. It wasn't popular in the day to do that. Wasn't the fastest way to go through Samaria to get to where you were going. But Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. He wasn't going to let anything stop him from meeting that woman at the well that needed, had a big need in her life to be removed, for guilt to be removed, and forgiveness to be granted, and for her to see the Son of God. He didn't let anything keep him from meeting that need. Brethren, I believe that it would be good for all of us to ask the Lord tonight, give me another dose of compassion. Lord, I need an overdose of compassion. I'm dried up. Lord, my eyes are on a lot of other things. But Lord, your example in Scripture is that you're a person of compassion. And Lord, I need another dose of it. It would be good for some Christians tonight to make a decision that says this, I will show compassion to others because my Savior first showed compassion to me. I will do that in my life. Jude 1 verse 22 says this, and if some have compassion, making a difference, a difference. And by the way, he's talking about that with the lost
you and I are to have compassion on the lost. And when we have compassion upon the lost, and watch this, we bring the gospel message with it. Those two tied together, you know what? God uses Christians that are full of compassion with the gospel. But brethren, if we're cold, if we're dutiful, let's get this done. This VBS week, let's get it done. If we're dry, if we're short, if we're hurried, then guess what we miss out on? We miss out on the compassion side of things. And Jesus, the Bible says, was full. Over and over again, it says He was full of compassion. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 8, finally be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. We're to have it for the lost, we're to have it for each other. Be of one mind. What's the one mind? What's the one mind that'll drive a church in the right direction? Having compassion one of another. There's some needs in our fellowship right now. I can't go into every single detail. Neither can I share specifics. But I can tell you from time to time, a church goes through seasons. And from time to time, there are times where the burdens seem to multiply even by the day. Can I tell you our church is in that season right now? Can I tell you that burdens seem to be multiplying by the day in people's lives? Can I just encourage you, Christian, get an eye for somebody. We got people without jobs that are struggling to find a job, have been for months. We have people with other all kinds of burdens in their lives. And may I just remind you tonight, we are not only to have compassion for the lost, we're going to work at that this week, but we're to have compassion for one another. May I encourage you, look out for a need. May I encourage you, run to a need. You can't know all of them, but here's what you can do. Lord, run me into one. Lord, run me into a need in the church. Dear God, help me find someone. Lord, bring someone across my path that I can help with a need in their lives. Give me compassion for a brother. Give me compassion for a lost person. Give me bowels of mercies. 1 John chapter 3 speaks of it as bowels of compassion. Compassion will move you to action. It will move you to action. We just need a good dose of it again. Maybe your compassion's a little dry. Maybe your compassion is not what it once was. Maybe your mind has been on a lot of what's going on in the world. Brethren, get a dose tonight from Jesus. Realize He's had compassion. He shows compassion. And because He shows compassion, He has taught us to be compassionate. You know what the 12 disciples saw on a daily basis? Compassion and truth. Compassion and truth. So here's James and Peter now on their walk to the temple. Jesus has risen, right? Acts chapter 3, He's gone. He's ascended into heaven. Now James and Peter are walking. Man, daily prayer. Man, I got something to go to. Ooh. Here's a man that's been lame. What do they do? Just go on to prayer? I got to get to prayer meeting. What did they do? They stopped, didn't they? They took interest in that man. You know what? Watch this. They caught what he taught. Let's catch what he's teaching us.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives.
Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.